This is Dr. Max D. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us at the same time each week, and we do count it our privilege to have you follow along in our broadcast, and we want to take time to thank those that have taken time to write us. We appreciate it very much and always glad to hear from you. We're going to continue on now on the subject here, who can forgive sins, the Catholic priest or the Lutheran minister? And we've studied some things, and I'm going to stay on this with the Roman Catholic Church now for a little bit, on some of the absolute fallacies that this organization teaches. Now, as we've studied previously, we found out here that they had said that you are to call the priest father. But we found out in Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, that Jesus Christ said, no, we're not to call the priest father, and for we have one Father which is in heaven. So they teach exactly opposite of that. And as we've said, one priest told me in Florida, he said, if we can get them to call us Father, they'll believe anything that we tell them. They'll eat out of our hand, and we've got them, you know. And then they say Peter is the first pope, but they lie again. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, Peter himself rebukes the Roman Catholic Church, and he says, I'm not a pope, I'm an elder. And then if you go over to Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, you find out that Peter was married. So if they want to follow Peter, then why aren't the popes married? And again, we have the contradiction and the false teaching of this organization as compared with the Bible. Now, I want to say this at the outset because many Catholics or Lutherans, when you bring this out, especially in the Roman Catholic Church, the first thing they say, oh, Pastor Younce, you hate Catholics. Well, you are a liar if you say that. If you're a Catholic and you say that about me, you just lied. And you shouldn't do that. First of all, what I hate is the false teaching of the Roman Catholic Church that deceives many, many, many hundreds and thousands of people. And the thing is, the reason these broadcasts are being made is to have you not believe Pastor Younce, but go to the Bible. And the most of the Roman Catholics I've met don't believe the Bible. They'll take their priest, they'll take the organization over the Word of God. But thank God we have led a lot of people, Roman Catholics, that have been in that organization for years, and have turned to their Bible, opened the Bible, and showed them, you're not called priest father. There's one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Your priest cannot forgive your sins. They can't even forgive their own. And all of this is very deceptive and deceiving and very trickery in order to get you to follow them as an organization, put your confidence in the priest, thinking they can walk on water. We just got a letter from a man here a while back that listened to our broadcast, and he said, I have had a lot of experience with these priests. And truthfully, they are a god to the people. The people will take what the priests say over what the Bible says. And I found that to be true in many, many, many cases, which is sad. But we're going to continue on. And there's one thing we had mentioned in our previous broadcast that I had never went ahead and told about and the situation with that. And that was the priest. You remember me, I had mentioned him. His name is Donald B. Cousins. And he teaches at the seminary, St. Mary's Seminary, down in Cleveland, Ohio. And he's the one that wrote the article, and it was picked up by the Star Tribune here quite a while back. And he was the one that had told about the sociologist by the name of James G. Wolfe in his 1989 assessment that there were 48.5% of the priests that were gay men. They were homos. And 55.1% of those that were in the seminary were homosexuals. Now, that's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that in my life. The organization is filled with them. But anyway, I want to relate to you about Mr. Cousins because I had the privilege to meet with him and talk with him. I was on my way up to northern Ohio, and I was going to speak up there in a church. And anyway, in coming toward Cleveland, coming around Cleveland, I got on my cell phone and I called him. And I never expected at all to get a hold of him, you know. But anyway, I did, and he answered the phone. And I related to him who I was, and I'd like to talk to him. I told him about what he had come out and exposed the multiplicity of homos that are in the Roman Catholic Church and the pedophiles. And I commented to him that I thought it was very brave of him to do that and very honest of him to do that because all the Roman Catholic Church seems to want to do until they are really pinned in a quarter is to cover up for their priest and put all this thing in a closet so nobody will find out about it. And that's very dirty for them to do it, but they've done it. And then they transfer their priest to another parish. He molests other children. And then these are supposed to be holy men. These are filthy, dirty, rotten men. These are not holy men at all. And but anyway, I said, I'll take you out for supper. I've got some questions I want to ask you. So he took me up on it. So I went over and met him over there in a restaurant and bought his supper for him. We had supper together and spent over an hour together. And it was a very interesting thing. Like I say, I complimented him on his fact of being honest about the priests that were pedophiles and homos and so forth. And but I asked him, I said, you know, before I asked him, I told him this. I said, you know, Reverend Cousins, I know when I die that I'm going to heaven when I die, and I know that absolutely, positively, for sure, because Jesus Christ loved a sinner like me, and he went to the cross 2,000 years ago, and he died on that cross, and he paid for my sins. And I know for sure I'm going to heaven because he promised that whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life. Well, he said, and this is very interesting, but this man wasn't saved. He's never trusted Christ as his Savior. He said to me, he said, I wish I could have your faith. And I said, what do you mean you wish you could have my faith? My faith is just in the fact that I'm trusting completely that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's historically a fact that he died. He was here. It changed the whole time system. It is now what? And, of course, it is A.D. That is Latin for Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Our whole time's dated from Jesus Christ. And I said, what do you mean? Well, I don't know if I have enough faith. And I said, what do you mean have enough faith? It's not faith in degree, sir. You either believe, Reverend Cousins, what God said, that he loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I said, I believe 100%. And just like Philip, when he was talking to the eunuch, and the eunuch said, what doeth hindereth me from being baptized? He said, do you believe with all of your heart? Do you believe? And all of your heart, as you study the Bible, the heart is the seat of your conscience. It's not your pumping heart. It's the seat of your conscience. There's no reservation in my conscience anywhere, any doubt whatsoever, but full confidence believing simply that Jesus Christ died for me and paid for my sins. I said, will you believe that? And he just kept going back to the point, well, I don't know if I have enough faith. I said, how many points of faith do you have to have? So you either believe it or you don't. Well, you never would trust Christ as a Savior. Never would whatsoever. But while we were there, there were some college kids that came over and addressed him, and he just, well, you can see the pride all over this man. he just ate it up. And, hi, Reverend Cousins, and so forth, and I have your book. And he had written two books. If you ever want to get these, you can surely get them from the Catholic bookstore. The Changing Face of the Priesthood by Donald Cousins, and Sacred Silence, Denial and the Crisis in the Church. And you can get both of them if you ever want to read them. They're very interesting. And anyway, I have those, and it's good to have them in my library. But anyway, as we left, and by the way, he ordered his wine. He's a drinker, And I didn't know he was going to order his wine, or I wouldn't have paid for it. But since I told him I was already going to buy supper and that, I had to pay for it. So maybe I'm a contributor to evil, you know, I don't know. But I'm just kidding about that. But anyway, make a long story short, after we finished, we walked outside of the restaurant, and I said, "Mr. Cousins, I want to just relate this to you, sir. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you will spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire." And I said, "I don't want you to spend eternity there. And being a priest and a teacher and the college here, that doesn't take you to heaven, sir. Being a priest doesn't take you to heaven. Being educated doesn't take you to heaven. And being part of the Roman Catholic Church doesn't take you to heaven." And I said, "Sir, I'm going to pray that you'll trust Jesus Christ. And it isn't how much faith you got. It's just the matter that you're trusting completely and believing the Bible. And what you're really telling me is you don't believe the Bible. I mean, you really don't. You go through all of your traditions and all of this and that and one thing or another, and you use the Bible and little bits and pieces and so forth and add all this other stuff to it. But to make a long story short, I said, Mr. Cousins, I hope you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and have the peace I have." And he said, "Well, I thank you for the supper." He was very kind, very polite. "Thank you for the supper, and I thank you for what you have said." And we parted there. Well, this man's lost on his way to hell. He's never trusted Jesus Christ. He's a religious man, but religious but lost. And you've got to remember this. Religion's only found four or five times in the Bible, and four times is spoken evil of. And religion is a hater of God. Religion is you trying to get to heaven by being good or that, or whatever it might be, your water baptism, your penance, whatever it might be, and none of those things will ever take you to heaven, let alone trusting a priest to forgive your sins when Jesus Christ is the only one who can forgive your sins. And I want to bring this other thing out here, too, because the Roman Catholic Church does everything it can in order to hide the filth that is in it. And the USA Today, and we had mentioned some of this before, but we're not going all back through that. But anyway, we find out, and I wanted to put one thing in here, clear down to the end. We'd found out here that it's unbelievable. Boston, Massachusetts had forked out $120.6 million, Portland, Oregon, $53 million, Dallas, Texas, $47.7 million, Chicago, Illinois, $38.8 million. And this is here, these are the settlements that cost for the abuse scandal of the Roman Catholic Church, a USA Today study found. Now, we come on down, there was many, many more. There was Santa Fe, New Mexico, $31 million, Louisville, Kentucky, $29 million, Lafayette, Louisiana, $26 million. Manchester, New Hampshire, $20 million. These pedophiles are everywhere. I mean, these people are everywhere. And put them out, put a robe on them, and then you want me to come to them, they're going to forgive my sins. That's the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life. But on the last part of this in the USA Today, that was in January the 5th in this year here, it says here, late Tuesday, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles facing 547 plaintiffs alleging abuse was blocked from releasing records of 127 alleged abusive clergy and personnel just 90 minutes before it planned to post the information online. The Second District Court of Appeals stopped the release at the request of an attorney representing an accused priest. These guys do anything to keep the truth from coming out. Well, so much for that. But I want to go on now, and because last week we just got on purgatory a little bit, and that's very, very interesting, because when I begin to look at the Roman Catholic Church and all the lies that these people in this church puts out, I want to bring out another, if I may, because this is very, very deceptive, and it is on purgatory. We mentioned that just a little bit last week. But anyway, I'd like to read to you, if I may, and this comes from the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church, very large, thick book, if any of you have it. If you're Roman Catholic, I suppose you should have it. But I'd like for you to notice, it says here, the Church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from the punishment of the damned. Now, I'd like for you to notice where this comes from, because the Roman Catholic Church says it itself. Now, I'm reading right out of their literature, right out of the Catechism. Maybe some of you ought to read it once in a while, and so you know for yourself what this organization teaches. The Church formulated her doctrine of faith on purgatory, especially at the councils of Florence and of the Council of Trent. Well, the Council of Florence was in effect there from 1438 to 1443. The Council of Trent was in effect from 1545 to 1563 B.C. And the tradition of the church. Here we have the tradition of the church. Now, I want to show you something in the Bible, and where you ought to read this, because Christ warns about this. The tradition of the church. I could care less, Roman Catholic Church, what you guys sit around your little old council and you make up and you throw it out here to people and try to brainwash them that there is a purgatory. When you just say, I don't know anybody reading your confession here, when the church tells you itself, I mean, says here, formulated her doctrine of faith on purgatory, especially at the Council of Florence, my gracious sakes alive, clear back in 1438, 1443, or there, you see? Now, when I said, I think I said B.C., I didn't mean B.C., I meant A.D., not B.C., so let me correct that. I didn't mean that at all. And but anyway, the tradition of the church, the tradition of the church. And the church also, and I'm reading from it, commends almsgiving, indulgences, works of penance undertaken on behalf of the dead. You don't find that anywhere, folks. I don't know. If you're giving your money to pray for the dead, you might as well throw it in a trash can, because there is no such thing. You see. But let's go in our Bible now. Let's begin to look here. Because, first of all, you're asking me to believe you guys 1,500 years ago that sat around in a little room, made this stuff up, and passed it? Let me read you what the Bible says. The Gospel of Mark. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark concerning this. In chapter 7, we find out here, and the Lord is really rebuking them. He met these Pharisees and these religious leaders here. These were your seminary graduates, you see, if you would have put it that way. He went in there in verse 6. He said, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it's written? Oh, you people honor me with your lips. Oh, Holy Father, all this and that, and worship the Pope, and all of this phony baloney stuff, but their heart is far from me. That's very true, because if their heart was for the Lord, you would find out, they would tell you what the Lord said. But it's just exactly the opposite. Notice in verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. Remember, this was set out here for in the Council of Florence in 1438, 1443, the Council of Trent. That's where all these guys get together and make this stuff up. You see, it's too bad they didn't have a Bible in front of them, isn't it? And there, and then they pawned it off, been pawned off on you for all these years here, and you people now, unless you look in your Bible, you're going to believe this. The end of it, my friend, is hell. So it's not a game, and that's the reason we're bringing these messages out, to get you to look in your Bible. If you don't want to look in your Bible, that's entirely up to you. I would fight for your right in order to believe any lie that you want to believe. But you fight for my right to be able to open the Bible and say, here, this isn't Max Younce, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just reading from God's Word what the Bible says and hope that you'll get some sense and believe it. If you don't believe it, friend, then when your end comes and you stand before Jesus Christ and he said, here was my word, the Bible, 66 books, 40 authors, 1,500 years over this period of time, never a contradiction. You don't have any excuse. And you're going to believe these men that sit in a little council that are sinners, because the wages of sin is death, they're all dead. All these guys back here at the council are dead. They're dead men because they were sinners. But the Word of God liveth and abideth forever, and Jesus Christ is alive. That's who I worship. So when you say, you know, oh, he's attacking our church. No, I'm trying to defend the Bible from the attack of your church against the Bible, and doing opposite of what Jesus Christ said to do. But let's read it again. Howbeit in vain do they worship me for the teaching, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. And he said in verse 9 of them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Maybe you're listening, you're Roman Catholic. Do you listen to your priest and your church and disregard the Word of God? Well, because you like to be liked of your priest, and he can say, oh, you're just a wonderful person, and send you right straight to hell, ma'am, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if he's trusted Christ as his Savior, then he would tell you about Jesus Christ. But if he doesn't tell you about Jesus Christ and he wants to be called Father, this man's a lost man on his way to hell. I don't care how many robes he wears. He's a false teacher. He's a satanic teacher. And when it disagrees with the Bible, it's better to put your trust in the Lord than confidence in men, in Psalms 118, verse 8. Notice here in verse 13, making the word of God of none effect. Why? Because you won't believe it. You'll leave your church. You'll leave the Roman Catholic Church. You'll leave your priest. And the heck with the Bible. Sir, you're lost on your way to hell. And the games will be over with. When the Lord looks at you and asks you when you die, and you stand right before him, and he says, you know, sir, I had your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but it was blotted out when you died because it was never covered with the blood. You covered it with the church. You covered it with baptism. But, sir, none of those things will save you. You thought more of the priest than you did me, the Savior, the one that died upon the cross. You thought more of the sinner that put a robe on and is going to die because he is a sinner, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But you thought more about him. You put more confidence because you thought it would give you more prestige in this little community that you live in, and you wanted to be liked by more people. Your pride swelled, and the priest said, oh, you're so good. And you go in on a Sunday morning, and you say, oh, Father, how are you? He loves it. His pride soars. And then you get a little accommodation from him. Your pride soars. And then what it all amounts to, sir, you're lost on your way to hell. The Bible says, and Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not the Roman Catholic Church. Not your baptism, not your confirmation, not any of those things, and not because the priest gives you a big smile and loves to be called Father. You're loved of him, and you're accepted in the community, especially if you're saturated with Catholic churches in an area like we are down here, and Lutheran churches. That's a whole different thing. You get down south in the Bible Belt, and they laugh at this kind of foolishness. I remember when we were down there, we never had to bring messages like this because people knew better. But when you get up in an area like this, we're saturated and brainwashed with this kind of stuff, contrary to the Bible. And instead of getting mad, may I just say this? Go to your Bible. Go to your Bible. Give me a call on the phone. Come down to my house and sit down. Let's open the Bible and see where it says, call no man Father. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you go to church on Sunday morning and have the priest and call him Father when God says not to do it? But he says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Well, that's very interesting. And now you're telling me, Roman Catholic Church, there's a purgatory. You're lying to me again, sir. There is no purgatory, and we're going to see that in the Bible. Here, if we have time to get into it. If we don't, we'll hop right on our next message on next week. But let me take you one more place. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. We find out when Paul wrote to those in the city of Colossae, he said, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's very interesting. But we find nowhere in the Bible whatsoever in the 66 books of the Bible, the Jewish Bible of the Old Testament, the New Testament here putting together, making 66 books, nowhere ever do we find anything about purgatory. Christ never mentioned it. Never mentioned at all. I'd like for you to go with me, if you will, over to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. And we're going to give you several examples. And it'll be very interesting to you. You ought to write these down, take them to your priest, and tell him, hey, what are you telling me there's a purgatory for? What are you lying to me for? And go over here to Luke chapter 16 and some of the other verses we'll give you as next week continues on. But here we find out over here there were two men died. One was saved, one was lost. Lazarus was a poor guy. He was saved, and he was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom in verse 22 of the 16th chapter of Luke. And then we find out that there was a rich man, and he was lost. And in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Well, where's purgatory, Mr. Roman Catholic Church? Where's it at? It isn't anywhere. It's vainly puffed up in your fleshly mind, and you have pawned this off to people for hundreds and hundreds of years. And unless they go to the Bible, it's a sad plight, but they'll believe that damnable lie of a purgatory when there is none. You see, if there was one, sir, it's not because you're a Roman Catholic church or you go to a different church or a different denomination and that. That has nothing to do with it, because if it's in the Bible, sir, I will believe it. But I won't believe you lying priests that come out here and formulate this stuff throw it out to the public, unsuspecting, trusting that you're going to tell them the truth. But their big fault is they never take time to go to the Bible themselves and study the Bible, you see. The middle verse of the Bible, Psalms 118:8, it's better to put your trust in the Lord than it is confidence in men. And especially when I die, I'm just absent from the body, and I'm either in hell or I'm either in heaven. If I've trusted Jesus Christ, I'm going to hear the words, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. And if I've never trusted Jesus Christ, and I'm putting my trust in the church, my baptism, my infant baptism, all this kind of stuff, and I've noticed here where the Pope had, they had a piece in the paper where they had gotten married, and the greatest thing in their life was the Pope blessed them. Well, that's not the greatest thing in their life. That's probably the least important thing in their life. Did the Pope tell them how to go to heaven when they died? Well, there wasn't anything said about that, was there? I've never heard anything said by the Pope about how you go to heaven when you die. Now, I'm not saying that just condemning because he happens to be the leader of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm saying that for any preacher anywhere. He just happens to be one of them. I don't care, and I'm going to say this. You can't give any blessing to anybody, sir. And the greatest blessing you can give is to quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's the blessing. You can't personally give a blessing to anybody. Oh, you can make them feel good by treating them nice and so forth, but there's no big deity or like some deity blessing you're going to give them. You don't have any yourself, sir, unless you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and then you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I see. We're going to pick this up on purgatory again because we're going to show you, and we're going to expound on this a little more in Luke chapter 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where you go right to heaven. There is no such thing as a purgatory. That's a lie out of hell. If you're silly enough to believe it, go ahead and believe it. I'd fight for your right to believe a lie, but you fight for my right to be able to expound the truth and say, here's what the Lord said, thus saith the Lord. Well, I thank you for joining with us. It's been wonderful to have you aboard. And we hope that you'll take time. If you didn't know this, we are on the Internet, have been for quite some time. In the last 35 years, we've had questions people have asked. We have put them on there. And our website is www.heritagebbc.com. You might find some questions that you may have wondered about, somebody else has asked, and we have many of those on there for 35 years, from 35 years past. Also, we like to invite you to our church service on Sunday morning. Our Sunday morning service is from 10 to 11. Our Sunday evening service is from 6 to 7, I'm sorry. And our wonderful youth group we have every Thursday night from 7 o'clock till 9. It's been wonderful to have you join with us. It's really our privilege. And we just ask you this, keep looking up because Jesus is coming. And as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.